You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona, or should I say come on out to Dale Creek Equestrian Village on Camelback Road, just west of Dysart, north side of the road. You'll see white picket fence, a 45-acre equestrian village, where is the site of mesquite harvesting today. Jennifer's on site in the Sanderson Ford Transit vehicle, live with urban farmer Greg Peterson. What have y'all got going on?
Well, it is all going on. You have to really drive back. You know, yep. It's a big piece of property. Keep on coming, and you'll see the cars. I'm with Greg Peterson and Peggy Sorensen, and we're huddled in the shade of the transit, and we're watching the harvesting get started. They're getting the beginning of their instructions on how to harvest. So not everybody can be here, we thought it'd be fun to come out with you, Greg, and let you tell everybody how to harvest
mesquite beans. Well, first of all, did y'all know that mesquite beans are edible?
I did.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, and there are literally tons of them every year that just fall on the street and fall away, and we just look right past it. It's food hanging right in our own yards.
Hanging being the key word there.
Hanging is the key word, yeah. Definitely. So harvesting mesquite beans is a simple process. We start by tasting a bean. You know, walk up to a tree. First of all, decipher that it is indeed a bean. Or a mesquite, and then grab one of the dried beans and, you know, start nibbling on the end of it.
Well, we have Peggy Sorensen here with us today, and Peggy, you're kind of everything edible outdoors. You teach classes around the valley on edible plants. You talk about all kinds of things that we'll get to later, but as it pertains to mesquite, you know what the first thing Peggy did this morning, she came and started nibbling all the, this is a good tree, this is a good tree, that's right.
So, they are good beans today, so we have a lot of good trees to harvest from.
And, Greg, I was concerned this morning because my beans at home the east side are all green. I thought, oh, no, what are we going to do? But you told me this morning they don't all mature at the same time. Right. We have a window.
Right. They mature over 3 months?
Over through the summer, but we harvest only in June before the monsoon while it's dry.
Yeah, so there's a very specific reason that we want to harvest our beans while it's dry. There's something called aflatoxin that lives when it's moist outside. And so we want to get the beans harvested off of the mesquite trees before the monsoons arrive.
Well, I have to say, a couple years ago, man, I was ready. My tree was loaded. They were perfect, crunchy. And then what happened? The wind came, blew them off, and they got rained on.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you really, really can't eat them. People should not be tempted.
You should not be eating those then. Exactly. So harvesting directly off of the tree after you try one of the beans to make sure it tastes good. Because some beans, you'll walk up to a tree, especially the non-native, the Chilean mesquites, you'll nibble on a bean and your face kind of contorts. Exactly like that, Jennifer. Exactly like
that. It's radio, thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly. And so you want to make sure that they taste good. Once you've determined that, you harvest off of the tree only. You can put a sheet up above and knock them off. But what I've found is that the early beans have a tendency to hold on until they're really, really dry, which is after the monsoons come. So we're actually harvesting off of the tree is the best.
So these trees we're looking at right now, we got out early and got our half a bucket. I got to go back and finish. But how there's a variety of stages of maturing on an individual tree. Which ones can you use for?
Exactly.
You can chew the moist ones that are ripe right away. They're really almost like a candy bar. People don't realize how sweet mesquite beans are. And not every tree is as sweet as, they're not all exactly the same, but they're quite good to just snack on. And I separate the moist ones from the dry ones, or the ones that are more dry. Those need to be dried further for the milling and for storage. But the moist ones, I just I snack on them.
So when you're saying moist, they're still brown, the tan. They're not the green ones,
right?
But they're kind of in between. All the green's gone, but they're still kind of soft. They have a little give to them.
Yes, they have some chewiness, and you're eating the pulp. And then discarding the bean, you don't actually eat the bean. It's the pulp that surrounds the bean.
Right. Well, and the bean itself will crack your tooth. It's that hard. When we do, going back to the milling, when we actually do the milling, the beans get ground up in the mills, and they add some extra protein to the mix as well.
Actually, 40% protein, which is twice the protein as any other legume.
They are really healthy for you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right here in our backyard, we just let them go to waste.
Right. Most of the time, that's the case. And they're low glycemic. You know, they call it flour, but you can't replace traditional flour, wheat flour.
Like cup
completely.
For cup.
You
yeah.
can't.
Yeah,
there's no gluten.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've made biscuits and just maybe done a quarter of a cup of the mesquite, and it has that wonderful kind of nutty flavor.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing to do with the flour?
Well, I make a mesquite nectar out of the pods, but I also have this little treat that I make with like a nut or a seed butter, like 1 cup of butter, 1 cup of mesquite flour, and just mix it together. You can add a little vanilla or cinnamon.
Oh, Greg's getting awfully excited.
Anything with that much butter in it's got to be good.
That's what Rosie would say. And I'm thinking too, Peggy, maybe I can get those recipes for you and I'll throw them up on our Facebook and on our website.
Okay. Yeah, it's just throw something together, something quick and easy, and don't worry about waiting to get a cookbook. It's nice to have a cookbook, but you can use it
just
in so many ways.
Yeah. So I am so excited, sir, that you have a hammer mill.
We do have a hammer mill.
I am so excited,
The only one in the
too.
State was in Tucson up until just recently.
So a hammer mill is a big piece of equipment. It's about this, almost the size of your van.
Okay.
It sits on a trailer. And the reason you need such a big piece of equipment for mesquite beans is because the bean itself is so hard. And if you try and mill them in like your Vitamix or something like that, you destroy your Vitamix.
I have tried. I have done so.
Exactly. So you need to really get a heavy duty piece of equipment. So we found a used one almost a year ago, and we've spent the last couple of months refurbishing it so that Phoenix now has a public mesquite mill, and we'll be doing a public mesquite milling next Friday and Saturday. I think that's the 28th and 29th or mm-hmm. whatever Friday and Saturday is. At our fruit tree warehouse where we do the fruit tree program.
And people can sign up for that because I did.
Oh, yes.
On the urbanfarm.com?
Urbanfarm.org.
Org.
Yep. Our full schedule of mesquite events is at growphx.com.
Okay,
that's
good.
The company that owns the mill.
You're not hard to find. People can sign up. They can bring. So today we're all harvesting, mm-hmm. and you're going to teach us how to get ready between this week and next week
next
to bring them to you.
Exactly. Exactly. So the thing to do, once you get your beans harvested, it's actually quite simple. You want to basically bake them. Often I'll leave them in the front seat of my truck in the heat, right?
Do you spread them out or you just leave them in the bucket? Or
In the truck, I just leave them in the bucket.
Okay.
I also use my dehydrator.
Okay.
You can put them in the oven, but they need to be really, really dry. So the moisture does two things. It brings on aflatoxin, and it also brings on a gooey bean. Mesquite flour is really, really sticky. So it has to be really dry when we mill it. Otherwise, it gums up the mill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a high sugar content.
Yeah.
Makes it very... That's why you can't put it through a regular grain mill. It will clog it right up.
Well, I think the Native Americans must have known about that. Because have you seen the pictures of in the old days, they would harvest them and they would put them like in a bed of coals on the ground and just
yes.
kind of
all right.
push them back and forth, and they were drying them.
Yeah, so exactly.
We can stick them in our oven overnight, maybe like 250 overnight? Is that
well, I don't
do
know
it?
That I do
Is
it
that
overnight.
Too hot? Okay, good.
Well, you can do it really slow at 200 for maybe an hour or two,
okay.
but keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't walk away from it. Or if you do it at a higher temperature like I do, because I process a lot at one time, maybe 15 to 30 minutes.
At what temperature?
If you're maybe
standing there.
320.
Okay. So you can get it done in a hurry. I like that, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
That's...
I have a big industrial dehydrator.
Of course you do.
And of course I do. And so I use that as well. And I'll stick them in there overnight.
Okay.
And the dehydrator at like 180 or something like that. And it just super dries them. So that when you bring them to us, they're super dry. They need to snap. There needs to be a good definitive snap when you break them in half. And
I think it's important to point out that people don't have to break them open and get the... You do the whole thing.
You
just
do
the whole thing in there.
Exactly.
That's
you
right.
do the whole pod.
In fact, you can't manually separate the bean from the pod.
But that's probably a lot of the goodies are in that hull. right? All the, right. the vitamins and the goodness.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, the hammer mill does all the work.
Does it matter what kind of mesquite tree, as long as it's a mesquite? Native. I know there's a couple. Native?
Native mesquite.
Yeah.
How do I know a native mesquite?
Oh, can that's a good
they
question.
They have thorns.
So the
oh, the thorny ones, of course.
The thorny ones, yeah. But really, the easiest way is to try a bean.
Okay.
Because oh, really,
you're just looking for the flavor.
You're looking for yeah, the okay. flavor.
And it's best on a native.
Yep. Yeah.
The non-native often leave a bad aftertaste. It might leave a little burning in the throat.
Okay, I've tasted one of those.
Yeah.
And then you also should be watching your feet when you're harvesting because there's snakies on the ground. And if you've got a mesquite tree that's grown naturally and it's over like a bush, mm-hmm. it's a good hiding place for all kinds of little critters.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's
just,
true.
You know, take a little stick and reach in there and mm-hmm. just holler a couple times. I'm coming in.
So. You know how else you can tell they're ready?
Tell me.
Watch your horse.
Oh, that's so
oh,
true.
Yes,
my horses
course.
Dive in. Oh, they love them.
They will stand there and watch that bush and won't touch it and won't touch it and won't touch it. You know it's ripe. They're on it.
Yeah.
Dogs like them too.
Oh yeah, yeah. All the animals will eat them.
Well, that should tell you something.
We just need to take a clue from them.
That's right.
Jennifer's on site at the Dale Creek Equestrian Center. It is open to the public. You can show up, get a bucket of, or bring a bucket, bring a hat, bring your Cool Rush towel, and go collect a bucket, a 5 gallon. Is there a limit on how much many beans I can pick?
Until it gets dark. No, how long are they keeping the ranch open?
Just a couple hours.
Okay, a couple hours. If you're here by 10?
Yeah, probably call it 9.
9. It's getting warm pretty quick, yeah. So you want to get out here and get her done.
Get them gathered, and then we can bring them to the urban farm next week, get it milled up, and have flour, mesquite flour right here locally grown. More with Greg Farmer Greg at Dale Creek Equestrian Center after this.